Hello, and welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Mario Ritter. Today, we start with some sad news for pop music lovers. Katie Weaver tells us more.
American pop music superstar Prince has died. His representative, Yvette Noel Schur, told the Associated Press that the performer was found dead at his home near Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was 57 years old. The singer and songwriter was widely praised as one of the most inventive musicians of his time. James Brown, the Beatles, and Jimi Hendrix were among the artists that influenced him. Prince was treated at a hospital last week. He was reportedly suffering from the flu. Prince's hits included Little Red Corvette, Let's Go Crazy, and When Doves Cry. The Minneapolis native began to gain fame in the late 1970s. His popularity continued to grow through the following years with such albums as 1999 and Purple Rain. I'm Katie Weaver.
Leaders from 130 nations are gathering at the United Nations to sign the historic climate deal reached in Paris last December. The signing happens on the 46th anniversary of Earth Day. Since 1970, every year people around the world observe the day by doing different activities to clean up the environment. Anne Ball is here to tell us about the history of Earth Day and the agreement.
On April 22, 1970, U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson organized the first Earth Day with a national teach-in on the environment. Earth Day Network says 20 million Americans gathered in the streets, parks, and meeting halls to demonstrate for a healthy, sustainable environment in large rallies across the country. This year, more than a billion people will celebrate the day by working for a clean environment. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has urged countries to take action to fix climate change.
That is the only way which we can save this one only planet Earth.
Island nations are very vulnerable to stronger storms and rising sea levels brought on by climate change. One example is the Pacific island of Fiji. Super Cyclone Winston crashed into the island nation last February, killing 44 people and causing $1 billion in damage. Fiji's Prime Minister, Josiah Bainimarama, talked about their fear about the future.
The frequency and intensity of extreme weather events, such as Winston's, is increasing, and we all have to be fearful about what this means, not only for ourselves, but for future generations.
It was last December in Paris, France, that world leaders worked out the details for the historic agreement. It limits the rise in global temperatures to well below 2 degrees Celsius. It provides a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Those include pollution from factories, and the burning of fossil fuels like coal. The agreement calls for a way to stop the effects of warming the planet. That includes moving towards using renewable energies like wind and solar or power from the sun. Putting the plan into action will take several steps. First, the 130 leaders gathering in New York Friday will sign the agreement. Then their governments must ratify or formally approve it to put it into action. Selwyn Hart is director of the UN Climate Change Support Team. He says the Paris Agreement must cross two important lines to become enforceable. First, at least 55 parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change must ratify the agreement. And those 55 countries must represent 55% of global greenhouse gas emissions. China and the U.S. are the biggest contributors to the world's global greenhouse gases. Together, the countries are responsible for about 40% of the world's emissions. Both the U.S. and China support the agreement. They are pushing for its early adoption by all the nations. The target date to start the agreement is 2020. That could change. If all the countries ratify it quickly, it could happen this year or in early 2017. I'm Anne Ball.
The United States government honored 10 young people from around the world on Wednesday. The State Department praised the winners of the first-ever Global Emerging Young Leaders Award for making positive social change. Next month, the winners will visit the U.S. to attend a leadership program and meet with people who can support their work. Here are the winners. Basul Amadoun, from the Palestinian territories, launched a debate club for young people in Gaza. He says the group gives teenagers a way to express their opinions and change their way of thinking. Hilary Brifa, from Malta, helped lead a campaign against violent extremism. She has led after-school programs on conflict resolution. Hessel Recinos Fernandez of Honduras was raised in a city that has been called the murder capital of the world. Soon after becoming a gang member, he was shot. He later founded Skate Brothers, an organization that helps young people avoid gangs. Samuel Grabowski from France co-founded Coexiste, a group that invites young people with different religious beliefs to come together. The hashtag of the group's members, hashtag Nous sommes unis, We Are United, was the most retweeted French hashtag after the terror attacks on Paris last November. Asha Hassan from Kenya is an ethnic Somali. She uses youth-led groups to improve contacts among ethnic clans in her home community. She teaches children the value of life and warns them of the dangers of joining extremist groups. Ahmad Shakib Mosanyar from Afghanistan founded a social media campaign called Afghanistan Needs You. The campaign is aimed at disputing the idea that young people need to leave Afghanistan for a better life. Akhlem Nasrawi of Tunisia started a peace mediators program to oppose terrorism and extremism. The program teaches young people leadership, arts, and mediation skills. She also helps women and girls set up their own businesses. Nino Nani Tashvili from Georgia, uses new technology to help support peacebuilding and development. She leads a group for women in technology. She has spoken in Parliament and at Google's headquarters in California about how technology can improve civic life. Tinsar Shunlayi from Myanmar works for Burma's National Youth Congress and the National Youth Network. She helped organize the ASEAN Youth Forum. She also held a United Nations International Youth Day event that raised awareness about mental health issues. Zulfirman Rayantal from Indonesia organized discussions about hatred, loss, and other feelings among people in Ambon. The city experienced 10 years of violence between opposing religious groups. Next, Ashley Thompson has what's trending.
This is What's Trending Today. The last time a woman appeared on U.S. paper money was during the 1890s. That woman was Martha Washington, the wife of America's first president, George Washington. But this week, the U.S. Treasury announced that a woman will soon appear on the $20 bill. African-American abolitionist Harriet Tubman will replace Andrew Jackson, America's seventh president. Tubman led hundreds of slaves to freedom through what is called the Underground Railroad. U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew confirmed Wednesday that Tubman will be the first African-American featured on U.S. money. Lew did not say when the new bill would be printed and used. Lew originally announced his plan to put a woman on the $10 bill last June, but many groups and people urged him to consider putting a woman on the $20 bill, too. That led to the hashtag WomenOn20s movement on social media. Andrew Jackson was responsible for the Indian Removal Act of 1830. That started what was known as the Trail of Tears, a forced migration during which thousands of Native Americans died. Tubman grew up a slave in Maryland. She was born in 1822. Most historians believe she was taken from her parents and put to work when she was barely 6 years old. As a young woman, she married John Tubman. She escaped to the North with the help of a white neighbor. Harriet Tubman returned to Maryland to free members of her family and other slaves. She made that trip about 20 times to lead more people to freedom. On social media, people mostly reacted positively to the currency changes. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders wrote on Twitter, "I cannot think of an American hero more deserving of this honor than Harriet Tubman." But Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump did not like the removal of Andrew Jackson from the $20 bill. He suggested creating a new bill for Tubman to appear on. On Thursday, he told The Today Show, "Maybe we do the $2 bill, or we do another bill. Yes, I think it's pure political correctness." Tubman will not be the only woman pictured on U.S. paper money. The $10 bill will also be redesigned. The new design will be released in 2020. The first U.S. Treasury Secretary, Alexander Hamilton, will remain on the front, but the back of the bill will include members of the women's suffrage movement. The back of the $5 bill will have an image of singer Marian Anderson and former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Ashley Thompson.
migrants seeking to cross the Mediterranean Sea face a dangerous trip. Marcia James tells us about what is believed to be a deadly accident at sea.
The United Nations says that 500 people may have died when their boat sank in the Mediterranean Sea. On Monday, witnesses and survivors told VOA that a smuggler's boat turned over with about 500 people on board. It happened on April 8th. The Somali government says 200 of its nationals drowned. The United Nations Refugee Agency says the boat was bound for Europe from Libya. It carried people from Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan, Syria, and Egypt. The accident happened somewhere between Libya and Italy, as smugglers tried to move some people from a smaller boat to a larger, more crowded boat. The survivors swam to the original boat and were rescued after drifting in the sea for 3 days. A large ship took them to Greece. The United Nations says almost 180,000 refugees and migrants have reached Europe this year. Almost 800 have died or gone missing. I'm Marcia James.
The Japanese government wants to know more about the fuel efficiency claims of car maker Mitsubishi. Dan Friedel has the story.
It is not just Volkswagen trying to manipulate testing of its cars. This time, it is a Japanese company, Mitsubishi. The Japanese automaker received a visit Thursday from the country's chief cabinet secretary. The government wants to investigate Mitsubishi's fuel efficiency claims. On Wednesday, Mitsubishi President Tetsuro Aikawa admitted that his employees used higher tire pressure during fuel economy tests for small car models. The more air in a tire, the better it will perform on a fuel economy test. The test recorded 10% better fuel economy than consumers were seeing on the road. The cheating affects over 600,000 cars produced for Mitsubishi and Nissan. The models are the EK and Days Roux passenger cars. The Japanese government promised to deal with Mitsubishi in a strict manner. Mitsubishi's stock price dropped significantly on Wednesday and Thursday after the news of an investigation came out. I'm Dan Friedel.
Ukrainian citizens may soon be able to travel to the European Union without needing a visa. Dorothy Gundy tells us about a new EU proposal to ease travel requirements for Ukrainians.
The European Union is considering a proposal to offer visa-free travel to Ukrainians. If approved, the plan would permit Ukrainians to travel for up to 90 days throughout the European Union 28 member states. The EU Migration Commissioner, Dimitris Avramopoulos, said Wednesday that the Ukrainian government has made successful judicial and security reforms. These include improved efforts against organized crime and better border security, the Wall Street Journal reports. Last December, the EU Migration Commission announced that Ukraine had met its goals listed under the EU Visa Liberalization Action Plan. The proposal now needs approval from the European Parliament and EU member states. If approved, Ukraine would be added to the list of countries whose citizens can travel in the EU without a visa. The Commission stressed that the measure did not give Ukrainians the right to live or work in the EU. Also on Wednesday, Avramopoulos noted that Turkey has made progress in controlling the flow of migrants. He promised to propose visa travel for Turks early next month if Turkey meets other requirements listed in the European Union Action Plan. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Ashley and Adam Brock bring us our weekly Everyday Grammar program. Today, you will hear the first of two programs about commonly confused words.
Before we get started today, Adam, I wanted to ask you about your weekend at home.
It was great, thanks. But the drive was a little tiring. Chicago is a lot further away than I thought.
Sorry, you mean Chicago is a lot farther away than you thought?
Yes, that is what I said.
No, you said further. In American English, further is usually used for non-physical or figurative distances. Farther is the correct word when talking about actual physical distance, or distance that you can measure.
Non-physical distances? Can you give me an example?
Sure. If you cannot decide on which presidential candidate to support, you might look further into their positions on important issues. Here, there is no actual measurable distance.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Farther and further are words that English learners and even native English speakers often confuse. The English language is full of commonly confused words. These words may sound the same, but mean different things. Or maybe they are spelled the same, but mean different things. Let's look at some of these commonly confused words.
We will start with the two words we just mentioned, farther and further. The word farther is usually used as an adverb. In American English, we say farther when talking about a physical, measurable distance. For example, we walked farther than we had planned. The word further has several meanings. It can be used as an adverb, adjective, and even a verb. As an adverb, further means to a greater extent. For example, the scientists are looking further into the new research. As an adjective, further means more or additional. For example, further research is needed to reach a conclusion. Notice how there is no physical, measurable distance in these examples. Further can also be a verb. In its verb form, it means to help the progress of something. For example, you might hope to further your career by learning English. In other words, you hope learning English will help you advance your career. Again, there is no physical, measurable distance.
Our second set of commonly confused words is lose and loose. These are words that even native English speakers confuse. lose, L-O-S-E, is a verb. Lose has several meanings. It can mean to be unable to find. You might tell a forgetful friend, "Don't lose your keys again." Lose can also mean to fail to win something. For example, people expected the team to lose the football game. It can also mean to have less and less of something over time. If someone is looking smaller than before, you might ask, "Did you lose weight?" The word loose, L-O-O-S-E, is usually used as an adjective. Notice that loose ends with a strong S sound, while lose, the verb, ends with a Z sound. Loose has no relation to lose. Loose means not tight, secure, or attached. For example, you can have a loose tooth, loose clothing, or loose pieces of paper. Loose can also mean not exact. For example, if you try to very quickly translate something from your native language to English, you might be writing a loose translation.
Another set of commonly confused words is accept and except. Although they are spelled differently, many American English speakers pronounce these words in almost the same way. But these two words are not interchangeable. Accept, A-C-C-E-P-T, is a verb. To accept means to receive or take something that is offered. For example, if a company offers you a new job, you will probably accept their offer.
Accept, E-X-C-E-P-T, can be used as a preposition, conjunction, or a verb. In general, it means not including. For example, the post office is open every day except Sunday. Here is an example of accept and accept in the same sentence.
This machine accepts all coins except pennies.
As a verb, accept, E-X-C-E-P-T, means left out. It is used in formal speech. You might say, "Women were excepted from the study." As verbs, accept and except have almost opposite meanings, making these two words all the more confusing.
And that's Everyday Grammar for this week. Join us again next week as we take a look at more examples of commonly confused words. I'm Adam Brock.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
That's our program for today. I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again tomorrow to learn English with stories from VOA Learning English. Our programs are aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you news and information from around the world. On our Saturday program, listen for the popular program, Words and Their Stories, followed by American Stories, our learning English versions of well-known American literature. And visit our website for stories, quizzes, and videos that will help you learn American English. Today, we leave you with more music from Prince.